campers. Hey, families. How's it going? My name is Matthew, and this week has been amazing. I want to thank Carrie and Susan and Lorianne and Isabel and all the incredible leaders that made camp happen. Can we just thank them? All right. Now, I am not camp ranger whatever or whatever, but I would like to just say, kids, the songs that you're doing are really, really cool. Like, they're amazing. When I was a camper growing up in the church, our camp songs weren't as cool. But I just very randomly would like to teach you one, and this was not in my notes, and I think I might regret this. So can you all stand up? I'm going to teach you a camp song. This is a camp song from the 1980s. So, but here's the deal. You have to know that in the 1980s, a very popular movie called The Karate Kid had come out. And so we took a little Christian song and we wove it in with The Karate Kid. And it goes something like this. So you kind of do the, you know, the clapping thing that you were doing, right? So it's like, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. You can echo that, yeah. So shall I be saved from my enemies. A song about enemies and stuff. It's really great. Yeah. No, but here we go. And then we say, the Lord liveth. But when you do that, you do the crane. The Lord liveth. And then you go, wah! So it's like, the Lord liveth. Wah! Blessed be the rock. Wah! Wah! Can you guys do that? Let's do it together. The Lord. Wah! Hold on just a second. You can't just go, wah. You have to go, wah! And then, blessed be the rock. Wah! Wah! Ready? The Lord liveth. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Here we go. The Lord. Wah! I said, be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Anyway, you can be seated. There you go. That's what we call bonus. It's extra. Now I'm out of breath. And middle of that song, I thought, wow, this is more violent than I remember it being. So kids, I like your songs. I like the ones you do. Okay, so I want to take a few minutes to wrap up. We've been learning at camp. Some of you might be new to church and maybe new to Jesus. And we are glad that you're our guest today. For the next 10 minutes, I want to encourage us all, kids, adults, those who know Jesus, those who are brand new to Jesus. As you've heard, the theme for camp this year was, we can love like Jesus. But can we? Can we actually love like Jesus? I find it quite hard, actually, to love like Jesus. Because Jesus loved everyone, and he did it really, really well. He loved the lonely, the poor, the sick, the hurting, people that no one liked, and he even loved his enemies, which is pretty incredible. It's hard to love like Jesus. But what if, I want to ask this question, loving like Jesus was less about trying and more about receiving? And kids, you learned this week. What if loving Jesus was not about mustering up enough strength and attempting to love like he did? What if loving Jesus was all about seeing, first and foremost, how loved we are? Kids, when I was young, I spent my elementary school years in a different country called Colombia, and my parents were missionaries, and so I grew up age 5 to 12 in a different country, and I don't know if you guys are loving elementary school and making some friends, but when I was 12 years old, I remember one of the saddest moments ever is when my parents told me and my brother that we were going to move and that we were going to leave all of our friends behind and to move from South America back to North America. And I remember my brother and I just were crying. We were really, really sad. And we were like, we have to start all over again. We have to meet brand new people, brand new kids. And I had just finished grade 6 and I was going into grade 7. And my brother had just finished grade 4, and he was going into grade 5. And for us, we showed up in 1992 to a new city, a new town, new people, new friends. And we had to go to new schools and to get to know people like brand new. But one of the first things I had to do, the very first week we moved to our new city, is I had to go to church because my parents went to church. So me and my brother, we went to church. And I remember praying to God. I remember going, God, I pray that people would not make fun of me. I really pray that people would not make fun of me. That was my prayer. That was my one prayer. Because I didn't want to get teased. And so my brother and I actually didn't wear clothes that were very, like, up to date. Our clothes were a little bit older. And we just had never lived in North America before. So I remember going to church, and I was super nervous. I was 12 years old, and I went into my grade 7 classroom. And at church, they have little classrooms for different grades. So I walked into my grade 7 classroom, and as I sat down, there's this kid, and he was an incredibly cool kid. And he right now is a very incredibly cool adult. And he's very talented, he's good at everything, and he looks awesome. He can grow an incredible beard. But when he was 12, he was not growing a beard. Anyway, but I showed up to that first day, and I remember sitting down in a chair, and his name is Jamie. His name was James Christian Upchurch. And Jamie, we called him Jamie. And this guy, Jamie, super cool, he turned around in his chair, and he was like, hey, Matthew, how's it going? I'm Jamie. And he put out his hand, right? And I shook his hand, and he goes, what school are you going to? Because I want you to come to my school, right? And from that day to today, I'm still friends with Jamie. And Jamie has been one of the cool friends in my life. And his welcome of me and his kindness to me has really shaped my life. There was a turning point, and I realized that because Jamie had welcomed me, and Jamie had been kind to me, that I could have the confidence of being kind and welcoming other people. See, I had seen it happen. I had felt in my own heart somebody welcome me and be nice to me. And you know what that did? That gave me the courage to welcome new people and to be nice to new people because of Jamie on that day in 1992. And I want to tell you a story from the Bible very quickly that's kind of similar to that story. It's a story about a man named Zacchaeus. Kids, do any of you know what's something interesting about Zacchaeus? Tell me, shout it out. He's short, yes, he's short. And for 2,000 years, that's what we know about him, is that he was short, the poor guy. But if you are short, hey, this is your story. This is an encouraging story. Okay? So Jesus, if you're brand new to the Bible, I'll tell you the story because some of you may not know this story. It's a story about a short man named Zacchaeus. Now, 2,000 years ago, Jesus is walking through a town and he's on his way to a city called Jerusalem, but he has to go through this town called Jericho. And people are really excited about Jesus. He's just healed a blind man. Wow. And he's an amazing teacher. He's really loving. He's able to do these miracles. He's a pretty popular guy. And a lot of the people are like, we want to vote for you to be king. And I want to read the story of what happened. In Luke 19, we read this. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. All right. Now here's the deal. Zacchaeus is a tax collector. Kids, how many of you have heard of CRA? Do you know what that is? CRA. Now, some of your parents work for CRA. That is awesome. Some of you, you hear your parents talk about CRA in negative ways. This might be your experience, okay? But CRA is the tax people here in Canada, right? So Zacchaeus, he worked for the tax people in Jesus' day. But now here's the deal. The difference between the CRA and Zacchaeus is that when Zacchaeus went around town, he was short, but he was probably walking around town with these really big guys that like had a lot of muscles because In that day, if somebody didn't pay their taxes, you would have a really big guy at your front door knocking on the door, being like, give me your taxes. And people didn't like that. They didn't like that. They didn't like violence being used to collect taxes. But Zacchaeus was in charge. He was the chief guy. And everyone else in that area who worked in getting taxes from people worked for Zacchaeus. So he's the top dog. Now, this is why people don't like him. He was not liked. Zacchaeus probably was kicked out of what we call a synagogue. That's where Jewish people worship. He was probably not allowed there. And for a lot of people, they say, you're a traitor, right? Like, you are mean to your own neighbors by taking too much money from them. And he worked for an empire. The empire was called Rome. And so a lot of Jesus' friends and family, they didn't like Zacchaeus. But you know who wanted to hang out with Zacchaeus? Jesus. Jesus wanted to hang out with them. Listen to verses 3-6. Zacchaeus, he wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Poor Zacchaeus. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now, Zacchaeus has heard about Jesus. He's heard, man, this guy can like heal people and set people free. And he's like apparently an amazing teacher. And some people want him to be king. So I want to see him. But of course, he can't see, right? So you can imagine him just kind of jumping and trying to see over the crowd. And of course, the crowd doesn't like Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus is like, all right, I'm going to do what short people do. I'm climbing a tree. And so he starts to climb the tree. And all he wants to do is see just a glimpse of this amazing man named Jesus. But then Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I want to come hang out with you. I want to come have a meal with you. I want to be your friend. Like, how amazing was that? Like, all Zacchaeus wanted to do was see Jesus, but Jesus saw him and loved him. And can you imagine Zacchaeus? He's like, whoa, I haven't had a teacher like this in my home in a long time. And he wants to eat with me? Nobody likes me. In verse 7, we read this. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Yee. So all the people don't like this. They're like, what? Of all the people, Jesus is going to go have dinner with Zacchaeus? Like, why not my house? Zacchaeus is the worst. Like, Jesus, we want to let you know, he's like the worst guy in our town. Like, you shouldn't be going to his house. Like, come to our house, right? And so they begin to mutter. You know what muttering is? It's like, I'm complaining. And I hate this. This is the worst, right? So this is what people were doing. But then at the table, we don't know what happened, right? So it'd be cool one day if we could see like what had happened at the meal. But Jesus comes to his house. And all he does is he has a meal with him. And Jesus loves Zacchaeus and shows him that he doesn't have to be lonely anymore. That there's someone who loves him and cares about him. And in Jesus' day, if you were to sit and have a meal with someone, it means you accept them, that you accept them into your life, and it's deep friendship. And I wonder if Zacchaeus in that moment not only saw Jesus, but suddenly he could see, whoa, I don't think I've been living my life very well, right? Oh man, I'm so loved by Jesus, but now I'm starting to think I've not been a very loving person in my life. I've been taking too much taxes from people. I've been hurting people, right? I've been kind of stealing from other people. And when he was so loved, remember that experience with me and my friend Jamie, right? When you're so loved by someone, so accepted by someone, you want to turn around and you want to do the same thing. But yet Zacchaeus turns around and he's like, uh-oh, I have hurt a lot of people in this city. What am I going to do? But see, he got excited and there's this beautiful thing happening inside of him. And listen what happens. But Zacchaeus stood up, verse 8, and said to the Lord, look, 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 Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. What's going on? Well, all of a sudden, this excitement starts to grow up inside of him, or starts to rise up inside of him. And he's like, I'm going to do the right thing now. I've been so loved by Jesus, I'm gonna go do the right thing. I'm gonna pay people back. And kids, have you ever seen the movie about Scrooge at Christmas time? You ever seen that movie? No? Okay, that's cool. Anyway, adults, have you seen the movie about Scrooge? Okay, so you get it, cool. So anyway, you remember Scrooge? He's like, takes a lot of money from a lot of people, and then he feels bad about it, and then what does he do? He wakes up one morning and he's like, I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. Except he said it in a British accent, and it made it better. See, the thing is that in the Bible, God had said, you know what? If you're gonna pay someone back, you only have to pay back 20%. 20% on top of what you owed. So let's say you owed someone $100, you borrowed $100, then you would pay back $120, right? And that's what you should pay back. But what does Zacchaeus do? He does way more than that, right? He pays back, like he gives away half of his money. Kids, imagine your piggy bank, half of it gone, right? You're giving it away because you're just like, I've been so loved by Jesus, now I'm gonna like give half of my money away. And then he goes to the people that he hurt and he's like, I'm gonna give you four times whatever I cheated from you. Man, can you imagine if the CRA did this for us? How beautiful would that be? But so everything I've taken from you, I am gonna pay it back four times the amount. Can you imagine? So if Zacchaeus had stole $100 from somebody in Jericho, he was gonna give them $400 back, right? It's this unbelievable generosity. Why? Because he was loved by Jesus. And kids, this is how we love, because we've been loved by Jesus. You see, does it look like Zacchaeus is like doing it because he doesn't want to? Not at all. He's like so happy. He's ready to do this. He's ready to pay back everything that he had stolen. And the cool thing is that Jesus fed the poor of Jericho by having dinner with Zacchaeus. I'm gonna say that again. Jesus fed the poor of Jericho by having dinner with Zacchaeus. Because some of you, I know some of you adults, see the justice here, right? Like, what's the most strategic way for Jesus to feed the poor of Jericho, of the whole city? What's the most strategic way to do that? It would be to go have dinner with Zacchaeus and then to watch Zacchaeus pay back all the people who he had put in poverty, right? It's brilliant. You wanna see the brilliance of Jesus? It's right here, right? It's the most brilliant thing. And here's the point. Zacchaeus could finally love others once he saw how loved he was by Jesus. And when we see how loved we are, it changes us from the inside out. And those of us who've experienced Jesus' love, we can tell you, it is a love like no other. It's an unconditional love. And so he was changed, right? And here's the point. We can love because we've first been loved. Kids, I think you heard this verse, 1 John 4:19. We love because he, that's Jesus, first loved us. Can you guys say that out loud? Can we do this? Let's say that out there. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. All right, I'm almost done, but I wanna just say a word to the adults in the room. Why do we need the love of Jesus? After all, you might say your life is going fairly well. We live in a beautiful country. Most of us in the room, I think, have a roof over our head, good food to eat, and an opportunity to work. But there comes a point in most of our lives when the answers we've been given about the meaning of life no longer satisfy. The thought that we're just insignificant creatures in a meaningless existence on a rotating rock in some corner of the cosmos, that story is bleak. In the words of the famous atheist Richard Dawkins, is it true that the universe has, quote, no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference? I hope not. That's a pretty bleak story. What if that isn't true? What if the unconditional love of Jesus was real? What if secularism cannot offer us the transcendence, the beauty, and the fulfillment we long for? What if there's meaning saturating our world? What if your life matters more than you know? What if your story is part of a much bigger story that God is writing in the world? What if there is a love that is higher, deeper than the loves of this world? What if the unconditional love of Jesus was real? Would you want to know that love? And so to the adults here, I would love to invite you to be our guest at a course that we call Alpha. The Alpha course will start in September, and it is for anyone and everyone. Atheists, agnostic, seeking, those of you who feel like you haven't been to church in a long time, you've got questions. The course is created for anyone new to Jesus who has questions and wants to learn more. It's 9 weeks. It involves good food. What we do is we get around tables together. We eat dinner together on a Wednesday night. And we ask some big questions, like, is there more to life than this? Who is Jesus? Why did Jesus have to die? And we would welcome you to be our guest. It's a lot of fun. My wife and I are part of it. We love it. It starts in September. It's usually between 50 and 100 people who take the course. So I just want to encourage you that you won't be alone. You're like, what if I'm the only one who signs up for that weird course? You won't be there by yourself. There will be others. And you can go to nlcc.ca/alpha for more information, or come to talk to any of us. Kids, I want to say something final to you. If you're a kid and you're new to Jesus, you are welcome to come here any Sunday you would like. You are our guests. Each and every Sunday, our incredible kids program has tons of fun together, and we love learning more about Jesus. And if you like that story about Zacchaeus, there's a whole lot more about Jesus that you will enjoy and you'll like. You will like him. As I end, St. Augustine, a follower of Jesus in the 5th century, wrote this, quote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. And I would say that this has been the story of my life. My restless, wandering, lost heart needed to find my life and my rest in the love of Jesus. And I hope that yours will too. And then, filled with love, we can then go out and love others like Jesus. Thank you, kids, for spending a week with us. You are the best, and God loves you so much. Parents, thank you for trusting us with your kids. And God bless each of you. I hope you have an amazing rest of your summer. But we are not done. There is one more thing we got to do. So I'm going to invite the Rangers back up on stage. Can we invite the Rangers up on stage? Rangers, let me know if you want me to do the crane again.
I would love that.
Yeah, okay.